This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's bring Ashley Nerona into the conversation, our Vatican correspondent this morning, as we talk about the anointing of the sick. You know, it's funny, Ash, I got it from my mom. My mom received it twice. It was right after she had her stroke. She was age 92. And of course, at the moment of death, at age 95 and 8 months. And when I had my cancer surgery a couple of years ago, and they said, you know, this is going to be long. It's going to be somewhat complicated. I sheepishly went to Father Al, my spiritual director, and I said, should I receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? He said, no, absolutely you can. And so he gave it to me, and it was a very moving experience. And I know that this is taught, and the genesis of that comment from Patrick Madrid yesterday was a priest. In fact, Matt, who's producing our radio program, took that call from a priest who got some unusual formation in the seminary, saying, you know, you really shouldn't, do anointing of the sick a lot. And he was confused. And so Patrick answered that. So, I don't know if, anybody in your family, if you've been present while the sacrament has been administered, but it's beautiful. It's a bittersweet moment to watch it administered on someone who may be going home to the Lord in a matter of days or weeks or even hours. But it's certainly quite moving when you receive it yourself.
You know, John, that amazing opportunity that we have through the sacrament to unite ourselves to the passion of Christ, to the death of Christ. And although I haven't been present as the sacrament has been administered, we had an amazing experience here in Rome with a dear friend who, as his father lay dying in a hospital, we were able to quickly get a priest to that hospital room. And when he managed to anoint our friend's father, actually against every single odd, his father began to recover. And as a result of that, not only did his father then remain with us here on earth for the next 7 years, but our friend had a conversion because he saw that the grace and the miracle of the sacrament right before his eyes. And this man was a man who would consider himself, like many Italians do, a Catholic, but not one who bothered to go to mass or anything like that. But when he saw that happen, he said a prayer, and he said, God, you have given my father a second chance. Just maybe I will give you a second chance too. Wow. And he completely transformed his life. John, he even began going to mass 2 times a day. He said, I have a lot of years to make up for. So the grace of the sacrament affects so many people in so many ways.
My Aunt Joan, my mom's youngest sister, as we talk about the sacrament of the anointing this morning, 888-914-9149. If you'd like to join our conversation, Ashley Nerona live from Rome with us this morning. I was her primary caregiver as well. And at that moment when we thought she was probably only going to have a couple of days, maybe hours at most, Father came, and she was in and out of consciousness. And to watch, that was the first time I saw the sacrament of the anointing of the sick administered. And when he gave her the apostolic pardon, he said, and now comes the best part. And he had some viaticum, some food for the journey. And here's someone who is in and out of consciousness. And Ashley, I wish I had a picture of it. And I'm going to try not to cry when I tell this story, but she just opened her eyes and was so alive at that moment.
Amazing. Amazing. That opportunity that we have to receive the sacrament of the Eucharist for that passing over to eternal life, to carry the body of Christ with us is the greatest gift. And of course, during this time of COVID, when this is not so readily available, it's just an opportunity for us to pray more and more for the graces of a spiritual communion and a spiritual viaticum.
Indeed.
For those who are ailing.
Indeed. And we've got the communion of saints with us. We always talk about our spiritual wing people, the communion of saints, and that's what the Holy Father was talking about today.
That's right. In fact, he was talking especially about the task of the church to pray and to teach all of her members how to pray and to pray along with the communion of saints. So he said that it's the church's role to pass down that lamp of faith, and the oil in the lamp, he said, is prayer. And so prayer is the very essence of the church, and she cannot evangelize, she cannot fulfill her mission of service to others without prayer. So in ultimately, he called the church a school of prayer. And he said, without the light of faith, well, that comes through prayer, we just can't see the way in front of us. And of course, as members of the church, that way is to share the gospel and to help others and to unite in communion. Because without prayer and without faith, he said, everything will collapse, which is exactly why when the devil wants to attack, the first thing he does is to try to stop people's prayer. And he gave an example. He said, a group may have great ideas, proposals of change for the church, for society. They may have all the right social media set up, the right marketing plans and business plans. But if they don't pray, he says, they are just an empty shell. And that's without the fire and the love of the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit that can move people forward in the right direction. And so he pointed out that it's a great responsibility of parents and grandparents to teach their children how to pray, because it's on the laps of their parents and grandparents that they learn their first prayers. And of course, from there, then their faith is deepened as they go through life. And with that gift of prayer, they learn how to navigate through life. They also learn how to deal with crisis. And he said that crisis is something that after you deal with it, you look back and you often see that it was only the power of prayer that got you through. And usually it's not only your own prayers, but those of the community around you. So he also said that it's for that very reason that communities and groups that are dedicated to prayer, like convents and monasteries and hermitages, they so often flourish, because he said they become centers of spiritual light. And so these communities, he said, are not only vital for the ecclesial fabric, but also for society, and pointed out the role, that great role of monasticism in the birth and growth of the civilization of Europe and also other cultures. And so he said that praying and working in community is absolutely necessary because it keeps the world going. In fact, he called it a motor. But he also pointed out that just because you pray doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. He said the saints faced lots of persecution. Holy men and women always face persecution. But with that, their strength is always in prayer, because it's prayer that feeds the flame of their faith. And he said saints don't grow with weapons or money or power, but we have to remember that it's through prayer. And he finished up the conversation today asking for reflection on a few questions. He asked, when the Son of Man comes, what will he find on earth? He said, will he find only organizations, like groups of faith entrepreneurs, as he called it, who are well organized, they may be doing charity, or will God find faith? And he said that Christians should also ask themselves about how they pray. He said to ask, do I pray like a parrot, or do I pray from the heart? Do I pray feeling part of the church and praying for the church's needs, or do I pray according to my own needs? He called that a type of pagan prayer. So finally, today, John, he encouraged the faithful to pray with perseverance without ceasing, and to remember that the lamp of faith will always be lit on earth as long as there is the oil of prayer, John.
Ashley Nerona is Relevant Radio's Vatican correspondent, joining us live from Rome, the Pope's general weekly audience. You know, I couldn't believe, we always say how fast time flies. I was doing something on our Morning Air Facebook page today and putting up the fact that it's already the 35th anniversary of Pope St. John Paul II's visit to the synagogue of Rome. Wow.
That's right. Yeah, 35 years ago, and really considered the opening of a new chapter in Catholic and Jewish relations. So it was back on April 13th that this was the first ever recorded papal visit to a synagogue. And of course, he crossed the Tiber River, because the synagogue is not so far from St. Peter's Basilica. And the Jewish quarter of Rome is actually thought to be the oldest Jewish community in the West. The Jewish community dates all the way back to just after the Maccabean Revolt, if you can even imagine. So the meeting between the Rabbi Elio Toaf and Pope St. John Paul II was very heartfelt. They embraced, there were about 1,000 people in the synagogue on that day. And in a service inside of the synagogue, they emphasized the importance of the Jewish faith as what Pope St. John Paul II called an our elder brother. He said, with Judaism, we have a relationship which we don't have with any other religion. He said, you are our dearly beloved brothers, and in a certain way, it could be said you are also our elder brothers. So he also then on that day quoted from Nostra Aetate, which is, of course, proclaimed by Pope Paul VI in 1965 and dedicated to those relations of the church to non-Christian religions. So on this special day yesterday, all of this was commemorated here in Rome in the Jewish Quarter, John.
Ashley Nerona live from Rome here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Also, 50th anniversary of the Declaration of St. Teresa of Avila as a Doctor of the Church. There's a lot in the calendar this week.
Yes, all kinds of exciting anniversaries to celebrate. And so sure enough, Pope Francis commemorated this day with a special letter that went to the Archbishop Gil Tamayo of Avila, Spain. And in the letter, he noted that she was the first woman to become a Doctor of the Church, and she was proclaimed that by Pope Paul VI. Now, Pope Francis called St. Teresa an exemplar of courage and of spiritual motherhood. And he said that even though it's been 5 centuries since her sojourn on earth, the flame, as he called it, that Jesus lit within Teresa continues to shine in this world and also to inspire others to be brave witnesses. So he said that this title that has been bestowed on her reminds us of the precious teaching that God has transmitted to us through her writings and through the testimony of her beautiful life. So she has played such an important role in the history of the church and in society, of course. And Pope Paul VI described her as an exceptional woman. And so we have lots to celebrate with this Doctor of the Church, John.
Has spring sprung in Rome?
Oh, I'm happy to tell you it has. So great to be in Rome. And one way we know that spring has officially sprung, John, is when we see the azaleas placed on the famous Spanish steps. Now, those are those 135 steps that connect Piazza di Spagna, the Spanish piazza, to Trinità di Monte Church. And they are lined with these pink azaleas every spring, and it's just a beautiful sight to behold. There's usually about 300 plants that they put on top. There's a special nursery that's owned by the city that takes care of cultivating them, and over the last 100 years, they've managed to grow 3,000 azalea plants, if you can imagine.
Wow.
And that 80-year-old tradition of the azaleas hadn't been broken until last year because of the COVID-19 lockdown. So happy to say the azaleas are back, and indeed spring has sprung in Rome.
My living room's got the Easter lily, and still it looks like it just came right out of the greenhouse.
Wow, easy to do.
No, the Easter lily's starting to wilt, but what looks like just came out of the greenhouse, the Christmas poinsettia. And everybody says, what, you got a green thumb? What's your success? I said, I don't have a green thumb. It's just, I just learned that about poinsettias, it's water every other day and indirect sunlight. And so that's that's the one spot in the house that has that in. It's still going. It's 5 months strong. I'll have to put a picture up on our Morning Air Facebook page. Ashley Nerona,
please do,
is our Vatican correspondent. She and her husband, John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project that provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. More online at truthandbeautyproject.com. That's truthandbeautyproject.com. All the best to you and John. Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much. Take care. God bless.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.